for far too long. Former Doge chief Elon Musk has come out against the president's budget and tax cut bill. It's now under consideration in the Senate. Iran's supreme leader rejecting President Trump's demands that Tehran halt uranium enrichment, part of any deal with the U.S. to lift economic sanctions on the Islamic Republic. The Dow is up 73 points, the NASDAQ ahead 54. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University is now offering your first online course at no cost to you. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe should grasp our attention for every Christian, for every conservative, and every patriot that's tuned in today. If you're tuned in, pick up the telephone, pick up your phone and text or email and tell everyone in your call directory in your phone to tune in to Let's Face the Issues, especially in today's broadcast. We're talking about the National Shame Month. They call it National Pride Month. In fact, I'm looking at an article, I read a portion of it a moment ago by Tony Perkins. Let me read a portion again. It's the global megaphone for an agenda that seeks to remake society in the image of man's fallen nature. But we have a global blueprint for humanity. That's God's word. And we believe God's design is true, good, and worth defending. My question is, do you believe that God's word is worth defending? If you believe that God's word is worth defending, if you believe that God didn't make a mistake, if you believe that God created male and female, and not a him and a shem, not a Steve and a John, but male and female. If you believe that, you believe it's God's word. What we're witnessing today with the LGBTQ sodomite gay pride month that they destroy the month of June each year. And by the way, according to the article that I'm reading on the history of it, it's their 55th anniversary of the LGBTQ pride march. And they use the rainbow flag, the flag that, as our previous caller said, God gave us as his promise, his signal in the sky that he's not going to destroy the earth again by a flood, but by fire. And when you look at it, this article reads, since the creation of 1978, the rainbow flag, pride flag, has become the universal symbol for the LGBTQ community. And listen to the garbage that they have decided now to try to make society believe and embrace. What are the colors of the pride flag? What does the colors in the flag and the rainbow flag really mean? Red means life. Orange means healing. Yellow means sunlight. Green means nature. Blue means serenity. Purple means spirit. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, they pulled that out of the ear. It was certainly not something that is that God created that color called the rainbow flag for. And may I say to you, one of the major, major things that we see taking place, let's just put everything else aside. Let's just cast it aside and focus on what is the reason? What is the rationale? What is the primary goal? What is the modus operandi and what the sodomite community is doing? The LGBTQ, what are they doing? Why have the gay pride marches, as they call it? Because in the lewd, partially naked, and sometimes in San Francisco and other areas, fully nude men and women marching, and where families gather and watch the parade and applaud, you know, one of the major, major things that's taking place, it is the sexualization and the recruitment of our children, the sons and daughters. You see, a sodomite cannot reproduce. All they can do is recruit. And so it's a top drawer, Madison Avenue presentation of recruitment into the sodomite camp across the nation. And I think any city, any state, any county, any nation that does that, that embraces it, ought to recognize that God's hand can no longer be upon us. This is the reason I go back to the Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness, rightness before God exalteth, lifts up a nation, but sin is a reproach, a shame, a disgrace, an insult to any people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the shame for the month of June. One writer says this: the pro-homosexual, the pro-transgender mafia won't stop coming after America's kids and grandkids. 10 years ago this month, Obergefell Supreme Court decision unleashed a satanic breakout in the sexual war against America and against Christianity. Five judicial tyrants in Washington, D.C. forced homosexual marriages on every square inch of America. The effect has been a national nightmare, and we can't seem to wake up from the nightmare. The Obergefell decision led the Bascock decision, which elevated the mental disorder of transgenderism to the status of a civil right. If you discriminate against a man who thinks he's a woman, radical lawyers and prosecutors will come after you. But the ultimate target all along has been our children, this writer says, and is absolutely correct. The cultural explosion led the spread of drag queen story hour. Men in girls' bathrooms, men in girls' sports, men in girls' locker rooms and shower rooms, the pharmaceutical and surgical sexual mutilation of children, and the epidemic across America of sex crimes. The nightmare is still happening. Yes, the Trump administration is pushing back. And praise God for that, this writer says. But candidly, it won't be enough without grassroots efforts from Christians across America. This article reads, as I write this, schools near San Diego are zealously enforcing a California state law that mandates tampons in boys' bathrooms and in every elementary school. The large goal is to hijack their bodies and sexual perversion by creating a culture with no sexual boundaries, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's precisely what we see taking place. We're watching the sexualization of our kids today, and it's done by recruitment and what's supposed to be the drag queen hours and the sodomite parades that's inducing the minds and the hearts of our kids and our grandkids to be a part of that movement in America. It is a dark day in America when we allow such as this to continue without confronting it and challenging it. Ladies and gentlemen, God created civil government, as I said earlier. Let me repeat myself. God created civil government, civil servants, governmental officials to prosecute evil and to protect good. I think most of our civil leaders, civil servants, governmental officials, both on city level, state level, national level, I believe they've forgotten the purpose of civil government. Why did God create civil government? You read Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7 succinctly, and it tells us. You read Genesis chapter 9, and you find succinctly God tells us about civil government and the purpose to punish evil And yet we find there's no greater evil that will destroy our sons and our daughters and our grandkids than the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, which is designed to recruit the hearts and the minds of our sons and daughters. Listen, I'm amazed. I'm shocked. I'm dismayed. I'm saddened to see video clips, where parents will take their toddlers, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, and sit in watching the drag queen shows by the sodomites as they present their acts, nothing more, nothing less than a recruitment tool that wins the hearts of these young boys and young girls to be drawn into that lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the civil servants today are promoting, embracing, celebrating, and paying for the delusional minds that wants to recruit our sons and daughters into the lifestyle of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Here's one way to fight back against the LGBT community. There is a Republican congresswoman from Illinois, Mary Miller. She will introduce a resolution declaring June as Family Month.
Family Month?
Yes.
I have not heard that. Tell me about it.
Well, she's going to introduce it. I don't know if it's going to pass yet, but she's supported by Moms for America, the American Family Project, the Family Research Council, et cetera, et cetera. So she's fighting against the LGBT month, which is this month. So she wants to have it June be Family Month, meaning...
That's a good idea, Derby. I'm not trying to diss it. I'm in favor of it. I embrace it. I'm not trying to diss it at all. But the question is, do we have enough backbone, enough spine, enough, if you please, vigor to stand up and say, as Christians, as conservatives, and from the pulpits with pastors, listen, some people just get a little bent out of shape with my position. I believe it's time pastors grow a spine. I believe it's time pastors stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and lead the flock of God, as the scripture tells us in the 1 Peter chapter 5 text. We need to lead the flock of God. We need to speak truth to the world in which we're living in. And that means standing up and calling sin, sin, and the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle, the transgenderism, et cetera, et cetera. This is sin. It's spitting in the face of God. So yes, create a month, create a bill, pass the law that will call June Family Month, and let's see what happens. I'm thankful for the idea, thankful for the potentiality, but I'm concerned about having enough Christians, enough conservatives that's willing to stand up against evil and stand up and speak against evil. So, Derby, thank you. By the way, just a question. What are your thoughts about the city of Jacksonville paying for the Pride Month and participating in and the celebration of the sodomite parade? How should we as Christians, conservatives, respond to that?
Well, Donna Deegan should also pay for the Christian month. If she wants to promote one agenda, she got to promote the other one, too. She shouldn't promote anything except good civics, you know, good government.
Derby, may I be bold enough to say this? One of the problems that we need to have about 150 to 250 Christian conservatives that will join together in a class action suit, file suit against the city of Jacksonville, and demand reparation, if you want to use that term, if they're going to support the LGBTQ sodomite community, if they're going to support it, promote it, and pay for it. The same ought to be done in a reciprocal fashion for Christian movement, for Christian programs, for Christians to be heard and seen, for the Christian flag to wave over the bridges in the city of Jacksonville for the month of June. I believe that would be equal rights, if you will, in the society in which we're living in. Anything less is simply saying, as Tony Perkins said, that the mindset for the sodomites is that we just, as Christians, that we sit down, shut up, and be silent. And I think it's time for us to stop being silent and stand up, speak up. Derby, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Tom is on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah. Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. As usual, you just answered my question. And my question was going to be is how do we, when does somebody stand up? If we accept the gay lifestyle, we open the door and say, okay, we're going to let that in. Where do we shut the door? Do we shut the door when they say they're going to kill all the Jews, is where they're up to now? And where will the door get shut? Will it get shut when radical Islam comes in and say, well, we're going to kill American soldiers? The real truth is there's no shutting the door. That the Democrats believe whatever is good for them is good. So you answered the question, as always. The pastors need to stand up and quit being looking at nickels, noses, and numbers like Joel Osteen. I saw him on TV with the Crouch son, and I was appalled. But, Dr. Youngblood, also I heard your son, Greg, and I got to hand it to you. You taught him well. I heard him. If all the American fathers would teach their sons what you've taught your sons, we wouldn't have a problem. But again, you answered everything. If you listen to this show, you're going to find the answers to the questions of the American civilization or the world's ills. So I thank you. But there's one other thing I'd like to bring to point. Right now, there are 17 white men has applied for the office of fire chief. And there's one black. So his name is King. Let's watch and see who our Democrat mayor chooses. And I think she's not going to choose a white. She's going to choose a Democratic black. That's already decided. There's no issue about it. But let's just watch and see if a dumb old 78-year-old guy can figure this out.
But Tom, you're exactly right. Let me put a little parenthetical footnote on the statement that you just made. Here's the problem. President Trump has already addressed that from a national level. We need to place people in position of hiring, firing, elevating, promoting based on merit, not on skin color, not on race, not on sexual orientation, but based on merit. And so my prayer is that we will see that as a city. And my prayer is that we'd have enough citizens to email, text, Facebook, telephone call, whatever it may be, demanding that the mayor select this person based on merit, based on ability, not based on all of these other peripherals. I'm fed up with this stuff. You find, you know, you go in, make an application for a job, you're a God-loving, God-fearing, Christian, heterosexual. You don't put on the top of your application, I'm a heterosexual, but your sodomites will go in, and they want that application, that company, that where they're applying, to know that I'm homosexual, and I demand to be preferred above anything else. Or my skin is a certain tonation, and I demand to be put in a position whether I qualify or not. It ought to be on the basis of merit, the basis of qualification. If you can't do the job, you can't get the job. That ought to be, if you can't carry the job, you ought not to be promoted, etc., etc. Pretty simple rule of thumb, but I believe that's the only thing that pleases God. I believe that's what you would find any place that you go to in Scripture, as God would see it, as God would carry it out. So it is my prayer that we would have enough people that would be sane-minded to do that in our city. Now, I understand that's hoping for a lot. That's praying for a lot. But still, we need to do that and demand that our civil servants, they're servants, they're not ones that have authority over us, they're civil servants. We demand that our civil servants do that which is pleasing to God, that which is something that's morally, ethically, biblically correct. Tom, thank you, brother, for your call, and thank you so much for your...
And And Dr. Emerald, I don't think that makes you a racist because you want the best qualified person, whether they are black or white. If Mr. King is the best qualified person, then he should have that
absolutely
position.
Absolutely.
But not because of his skin color.
You got it. Absolutely. That the tonation of the skin ought not to be any preferential treatment in that realm at all. As Ken Ham put it in one of his little booklets that he's written, there's only one race, and it's the human race.
Exactly.
And if we'd base it on that, we'd be ahead of the game. Tom, thank you so much, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Listen, let me just postulate a potentiality. If we're going to have Sodomite Month, LGBTQ Sodomite Pride, I call it Shame Month. If we're going to have that, why don't we have a month to promote murders? That this is going to be the murder month. Let's just say May is murder month. And we're going to high profile all murderers, praise them, put them in a parade, let them be seen, let them be celebrated, let their lifestyle of murder be celebrated. Why don't we do that? That's sin. Why don't we have all of the adulterers? Let's just call April Adulterers Month. And we're going to celebrate adultery. We're going to celebrate that as a national celebration. Pick your flag, any color flag you want, and let's use that. Put it on the Acosta Bridge. Put it on each of the other bridges. Let our mayor and let the city council, let the legislators in Tallahassee and across the nation, let them put it on the calendar. April is going to be adultery month. Why don't we do that? That's sin. God condemned that sin. Why don't we go ahead and pull that out and say we're going to celebrate it? Why don't we promote a month of celebrating robbery? All of the robbers and rapists, all of the rapists, all of the robbers. Let's say February is going to be your month. We're going to celebrate rape and robbery month. That's almost laughable. That's the epitome of stupidity. But yet that's what we're doing when we embrace and we celebrate and we promote and we pay for the agenda of the sodomites in America. And by the way, that number is still less than 4% on a national level. Less than 4%. And yet we're celebrating it, giving the right of way for that sin of immorality and slap and spit in the face of God to be celebrated. You see, when this first started in the mid-70s, the sodomites said, we just want to be treated equally. I pause for a moment. We just want to be treated equally. We do not want to be harmed or hurt because of our lifestyle. Well, listen, I have no right, no authority to control what happens in the privacy of a person's home. But when you put it out in the open and you want me to praise you for it, promote you for it, and celebrate it, and even pay for it, that's a different story altogether. That is a spit in the face of God, and it ought not to be so. It ought not to be done. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, all that's being acknowledged today in relationship to the sodomite lifestyle is celebrating that which God condemns. As one caller put it, you go in your leisure, you study Genesis chapter, the latter portion of 18 and all of 19. You'll find in chapter 19, God condemned the sodomite lifestyle. God burned, destroyed by fire, two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the scripture says, and all the plains round about. That is, everything was destroyed, including the city and all the peripheral area, as a result of the sin of sodomy. And you go then, ladies and gentlemen, to Romans, in the book of Romans, the first chapter. And you look at Romans chapter 1, and you see what God said in relationship to the sodomite lifestyle. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse, about 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore, God, listen, verse 24, Romans chapter 1. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God, that is, God created male and female, the truth of God changed into a lie, and worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, in verse 24, God gave them over to up to uncleanness. Verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. And then when you get down to verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at the scripture and understand what God is saying, God gave them over. Let them. God says, okay, if you want to live a life of immorality, if you want to live a life of uncleanness, if you want to live a life that is filled with lust and a heart that's going to dishonor your bodies, then you do so. Then in verse 26, God gave them up unto vile, filthy, wretched affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward other men, and men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is appropriate or meet. And it goes on then to give the definition, the characteristics of a sodomite today. And that sodomite definition is being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Listen to the 32nd verse. For knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's what we see today with the sodomite lifestyle. And yet we are celebrating it. It is shame month. It ought not to be done. It's against the word of God. It's against anything that's moral, ethical, and valuable. And as citizens of a great nation of America, we need to recognize that in the celebration, the embracing, and the promotion of the sodomite lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, it's destroying America. It's destroying our foundation. And as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, say to our civil leaders in Jacksonville and in the nation that enough is enough. We're not going to continue to allow it to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
There is a legend that illustrates the vastness of eternity. It says in a